Morning. I'll ask you to turn with me to the book of Judges, Judges chapter number 2, Judges chapter number 2, Judges chapter number 2. Now also, if you're going to church camp, now many people are thinking about it. If you leave here today, let me know if you're going to church camp or if you're thinking about going to church camp, just let me know. That way we can have a pretty good idea who is coming. Beverly's looking at you going this year? She don't know. She don't think so. Man, some of my hardcore ones have been every year. Priscilla's laying out this year. And then y'all, I don't know. Everybody's getting soft. And we'll have a good time this year at church camp. Looking forward to it. But do remember Brother Steve in your prayers. He will be having surgery on the Tuesday of church camp. And he's camp director this year. And he was telling me he planned on being back Wednesday, and I told him you shouldn't be such a knothead. All right? But he's stubborn like that. I don't know who he takes it from. I know his mom and his dad. And I don't think either one of them act that way. I think he got it all by himself. All right? So, but do remember him in your prayers. Judges chapter number 2. Judges chapter number 2, verses 6 through 14. I want to look this morning. Something God spoke to me about just studying these passages this week. Judges chapter number 2. Look at verse number 6. The Bible says, "And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man into his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that which he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered under their fathers. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them up out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger, and they forsook the Lord, and they served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the passage of Scripture that we've read this morning. It ought to stand as a warning how we can move from freedom to failure in just a heartbeat. We're one generation away from losing everything that the previous generations have worked so hard for. God, help us as your people to be vigilant and help us to be diligent to stand and to pass down and to remind people the great things that you have done. May there be some spiritual memorials erected in the hearts and the lives, not only of my generation, but the generation behind me and my children's generation. And I pray, Father, they'll remember some things that you have done that they might pass on, that your work will continue for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. What's interesting to me is that as you read in verse number 14, the Bible says, "So that they could not any longer stand before their enemies." Notice that. These people moved from freedom to failure just like that. You read the account, we study the book of Joshua, preached on a series, "I Want My Canaan." When it first came here, "I Want My Canaan." And it's amazing to me as you read about the book of Joshua, as you go right back to the very beginning, that the Bible tells us that every place, God promised them, every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I've given unto you. He said, "I'll be with you, be strong." He says, "And I'll not fail thee nor forsake thee, be strong and very courageous." He tells them to observe and to do all the things that
that I've commanded you to do, and I'll make your way prosperous. You'll find that he said one soldier put 1,000 to flight in the book of Joshua. He promised them that every place they went, they would be a success in driving out the enemies of the people of God. But you come to Joshua chapter number 2 and verse 14, it tells us that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. The book of Joshua stands, and it should inspire God's people to live a victorious Christian life. That God has some things out there for us. If we'll go forward by faith, we can achieve them for His honor and for His glory. It should inspire the believers to live the victorious life. But you come to the book of Judges, and it could rightly be called the book of failure. Because within the book of Judges, instead of being the victorious people God had called them to be, they were anything but what God expected and what God wanted them to be. They failed in every endeavor, and God would occasionally send a deliverer along, a judge along, that would raise up and stand as a type of Savior for the people of Israel, but they'd soon forget and go right back into their old ways. As you read in Joshua chapter number 1 with me, God had ensured His people victory. And how in the world do these people go from victory to defeat? And you say, what are you saying? Here's what they did. Instead of exhibiting spiritual fervor, they sank into apathy. Instead of obeying the Lord, they moved into apostasy. Or that's the moving away from the spiritual foundations which they had. Instead of the land being filled with law and order, you'll find in the book of Judges the land was filled with anarchy. Because the constant commentary throughout the book of Judges was this, that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's what we're living in today. Huh? That's where we're living in. Every man does what is right today. Then we went from spiritual fervor to apathy to apostasy to anarchy in just a generation. And you know what the result was? Those that were considered the unconquerables were living in defeat. Now, this 4th of July, I thought, we celebrate our independence. I thought of a verse from Psalm 33:12 that says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He has chosen for His own inheritance." Now we speak of it with this, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You want me to tell you what happened to these people? God ceased to be Lord in the land of Canaan. And when it happened, they were destined for failure. I mean, it's just the facts. Now, in Joshua 13, in verse 1, you're going to find some things. We're going to interlap a lot of chapters. I want you to get it in your mind, what's happened here. In Joshua 13, verse number 1, when he led the children of Israel into Canaan from victory to victory, battle after battle. And may I say to you, even in a victorious Christian life, there's conflict. Even in a life that is on the winning side, even a life that's being lived for God's glory, there's difficulty along the way. Joshua was old and stricken in years. They had basically conquered the land. I mean, they had taken possession of the land here. He's old and stricken in years. And notice what God said to him, "And thou art old, stricken in years, and there remaineth yet much land to be possessed." I got news for you. Joshua was a great leader. He led them from out of the wilderness to conquer the land of Canaan. I mean, they possessed it. He brought it into their possession, but guess what? The work wasn't done. There was still yet work to do. And what he's saying to Joshua, "Joshua, you're getting old. You're not going to be around forever. You're not going to be able to drive out all the pockets of resistance that's in the land of Canaan." He says, "But listen, your people shall be victorious if they'll just follow me." And you'll find that Joshua began to divide the land, each tribe, and says, "This goes here, this is here." They had subdued, they'd taken the land. They had taken the land, and yet it was theirs. And there was yet some pockets of resistance, so yet there was some work to do. They had the possession of the land, their inheritance, but yet there was some more enemies in the land. May I say to you, you can live the victorious Christian life, but don't think for just one moment you can ever lay down your sword. Don't think for one moment because you've achieved some type of spiritual victory in your life that you can cease. There's enemies to face. There's things to conquer in your life. There's new lands to take. There's always going to be a battle. And you know what the problem was? The people got comfortable. They got comfortable. And when that happened, may I say to you, they were destined for failure. You look in Joshua chapter 23. Joshua 23. Now I'm going to get back to the text. I'm still in my introduction, so hang on. Joshua 23. I want you to look at verse number 6. The Bible says that Joshua called all the elders together. And he begins to give them some instruction. Well, you look at verse number 5. And the Lord your God shall expel them from before you, drive them out of your sight, and you shall possess their land. The Lord your God has promised. And Joshua knows he's dying, so he reminds them what God's promised. He said, be therefore courageous and keep and to do all that's written in the book of the law of Moses. He says, there shall not come among these nations that remain among you, neither shall you make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God as you have done this day. For the Lord has driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you this day. Joshua's reminding them, the key to victory is in God. One man of you shall chase 1,000. Think about that. One man will chase 1,000. For the Lord your God is He that fighteth for you, as He's promised you. You go on down through there. He warns them not to make marriages with the people there. They're not to make any treaties with the people in the land. They're not to cohabitate with the people in the land. I got news for you. They're not to compromise with the people of the land. And He tells them, the moment that you do this, I want you to know, verse 13, that you start doing these things, these people shall become snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your side, thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord hath given you. He says, I've given you victory, but if you cease to be the people I've called you to be, I promise you that you're not going to experience victory. You're going to experience hardship. You're going to experience heartache. You're going to experience trouble. There's nothing that's going to come easy, but if you'll do what I've called you to do, I promise you, you're going to be on top. But you read and you move out of the book of Joshua, and you go in chapter 24, He called all the people together, and it was there He made that famous statement, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. You remember that? But the Bible tells us by the time we come to chapter number 2 of the book of Judges that Joshua died, been 110 years of age, and I want you to notice this statement and I'll get to preaching, okay? Joshua chapter number 2, the Bible tells us that Joshua died and also that generation that were gathered under their fathers, let me back up. Verse number 7. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. They were Joshua's generation that served the Lord. There was a generation after Joshua that was younger that served the Lord. They served Him all their days, right? It's what the Scripture says. They had saw all the mighty works which God had done. I mean, they saw how they come across the Jordan River. They saw the walls of Jericho fall. They saw how God fought before them, empowered them, enabled them from victory unto victory. They knew what it was. Listen to go how Caleb would chase the giants in the land that were the descendants of a man by the name of Goliath. They saw that. They saw how God brought victory after victory. And the Bible tells us that they served the Lord all those days, generation of Joshua, generation after Joshua. But verse number 10 says, and also that generation were gathered under their fathers, the generation after Joshua, they were gathered together, their fathers. Now notice this, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord. What a sad commentary. Somebody didn't do their job, right? One generation may have saw some things, lived for God, and I'm not here to preach this morning, but they didn't pass it on to the next generation, and they didn't live close enough to God that generation might see the mighty works of God in their life. And so they never saw Him, and therefore they never really truly believed in the Lord God. And it says the works which He'd done, and the Bible says after that generation died, there arose another generation which knew not the Lord. And guess what they did? They did evil in the sight of the Lord. these people went from being a people that should have been unconquerable, a people that was victorious, to a people who were destined to failure. And you say, what was their problem? I'm going to give you two things. I'm going to try to hit them real fast. Number one, they stopped working together. That's the first thing they did. When Joshua died, you go into the book of Judges, you're going to see right off the bat, here's what happened. You remember in the days of Joshua, when the people went to war, you know what they did? They operated as a unit. The whole nation went after them. I mean, if you got in fight with one of them, you're going to have to fight the whole family. Amen? I mean, it's kind of how it was when I was growing up. If you whooped me, you're going to have to whoop my cousin. You whoop my cousin, you're going to have to whoop my sister. Okay? I ain't kidding. I mean, man, she's tough. It's tough going to school with black eyes, punt locks from your sister. But listen, you had to fight every one of them. They fought as a single unit and drove out. But you go to Judges chapter number 1, and the only people you're going to see working together in that chapter as you begin to read Judges chapter number 1 is Judah and Simeon. They worked together. But you go besides that, and you're going to find that nobody worked together. They fought their enemies as a single tribe. You say, give me an example, and I'm going to show you the results. Look in Judges chapter 1, verse 21. I want you to look at it. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites and inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin. Do you see that? Do you see that in the Scriptures? Did it say anybody else went with them? No, they worked alone. You see that? Not only that, look in verse number 27. The Bible says, neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bethshean and her towns, nor Tanak and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns. And I mean, you just go on, it mentions Megiddo and the Canaanites dwell in the land. And so you'll find that they failed. They failed. Why? They went at it alone. You'll find it, verse number 31. The Bible says, neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Acho and the inhabitants of Zidon. You'll find that in verse number 30, neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron. Neither, in verse 29, it says, neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites. What happened? Every one of these groups went at it alone. You see that? Got news for you. God ain't called us to live victorious Christian life going at it alone. Huh? That's just first point with me real quick. I mean, you see it all through Scripture. All through Scripture. In verse number 34, it says the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountain. You know what they did? The Amorites, they ran the children of Dan away from their inheritance and wouldn't let them come down to the valley. Not only were they not able to subdue them, you'll find that they were getting conquered by these people. What a shame! What a shame they were losing. And you say, preacher, what happened? I want to say to you, the first thing they should have done is all got together and eliminated everybody. Let me tell you another thing. Number one, they stopped working together. That's the first point. I only got 2 points, so hang on. Number two is this. Number two, they stopped walking by faith. Now, this point's a little longer. All right? I don't want you to get wishful in your thinking. Okay? They stopped walking by faith. You say, what did they do? First thing I want you to notice in Judges chapter 2, they stopped, they neglected the Word of God. In Judges chapter number 2, in Judges chapter 2, verses 6 through 10, I done read to you and tell you how they served all the days of Joshua and the generation after Joshua. But there rose a generation after them which knew not the Lord. You want me to tell you how that come about? It's because somewhere that generation before neglected to instruct the younger generation the things of God. Now, not only were they to be courageous, not only were they to be diligent to fight the enemy, but you'll find in Joshua chapter number 1, he said, Joshua, here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want the leaders to do. I want you to study the Word of God. I want you to stay in the law of Moses. I don't want you to go to the right hand or to the left. You stay with the book. Let it be your guide. And if it's your guide, you'll experience victory. And he repeated it and rehearsed it in Joshua chapter 23. He told them again in Joshua 24 the same thing. You say, what happened to the people? I say, they neglected the Word of God. And when they neglected the Word of God, they forgot the great things that God had done for them in the past. When you forget the great things God's done for you in the past, I want to tell you, you're in a sad state of affairs. But let me tell you this, number two here, they negotiated with the enemies of God.
They negotiated with them. You look in verses 11 through 13, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, followed other gods, gods of the people. They're round about them. They bowed themselves to them and provoked the Lord God to anger. They negotiated. You know what they did? They started compromising. They said, you know what? We can't drive these people out. So let's make a league with them. Let's just learn to get along. Huh? That's what they did. Let's just get along with them. You say, preacher, what he's saying? Listen, I want you to understand. They had every right. God didn't say, I want you to compromise with them. God didn't say, I want you to make an allegiance with them. I don't want you to get along. What I want you to do is annihilate them. That seems cruel, seems harsh. But you go back to Genesis 15:16. God had been sending a witness and a testimony to these people through the life of Abraham and Abraham's people. And God says that their iniquity, it hadn't reached its zenith, it hadn't reached the place of judgment yet. But I want you to understand that it was brewing and it was coming to a place. But God not only had sent the witness of Abraham, God had sent, listen to me, dear friend, the warning that had been seen as the people of God marched through the land of Canaan. I want you to understand the people saw that when they went in, God led them to victory. It was God that was delivering them. But not only that, they had the witness of Rahab. Now I want you to understand God was just until He annihilated them. Because Rahab knew they was coming. You know what Rahab did? She believed their God. And you know what God did? He accepted her. And He saved her. And I got news for you. God would have been willing to save anybody in that land that would have believed on Him. Now I've got news for you, God. Anybody that will repent and believe, He'll save. But I want you to understand this day. And if there's coming a day of judgment, there's coming a day of reckoning with people that reject the truth of God and the message of God, and they will be turned into hell one day. And God will be just then, just as He was just in those days. You say, preacher, you really believe that? Oh, I got news for you. We live in a democracy this day and age, and tolerance is one of our most favorite words. We talk about being pluralistic in our society. I got news for you. I understand that we live in a democracy, and people have the freedom to worship as they choose. In fact, I believe that's a good idea, because Baptists always believe in soul liberty, that every man ought to be able to worship God according to the dictates of his own heart. If we didn't live in a country that allowed people that freedom, guess what? They could take our freedom away. Huh? Right? If we didn't allow somebody to worship how they wanted to, right? We said, but they're wrong. Listen, we have the right to say that they're wrong. But because we live in a society that's pluralistic, because we live in a society where that we have a tolerance for other beliefs and other religions, that doesn't mean that we give our stamp of approval to their heresy. Huh? Because people do wicked things don't mean we give an approval to their wickedness. But you say, but preacher, what should we do? I believe we ought to live our life consistent, live our life as a living testimony for the glory of God. And you say, what are you saying? I want you to understand, dear friends, that the church does not wield the sword this day and age, according to Romans 13. That's been given to human government. But we ought to thank God that we have the privilege today to say, you know what? We ain't going to join up with everything out here. Man, a guy the other day looked at me. He, a pastor here in town, I was talking to him. Nice guy. I had to bite my tongue and try to get away from him because he just told me one of the biggest problems in Garrett County, everybody didn't want to come together and worship Jesus. Huh? Come on. Man, I wanted to scream. Have you ever read what Paul said to Timothy to preach the Word? Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. You ever read that? Time will come, man, not endure sound doctrine. Huh? That heap to themselves teachers having itching ears of teachers that tell what they want to hear. Huh? I wanted to, but I was nice. I got up, moved away, and went and sat with somebody else. Huh? I wanted to scream at him. I did, because he claimed to be a Baptist. Now listen, I'm not mad at the guy. I'm just telling you something. There's some people that they have their freedom to worship, but bless your heart, I don't have to go pat them on the back and tell them it's all right. Huh? Man, you know what these people did? They said, let's just all get along. Let's all get along. I've got to get moving. I'm preaching, my throat's about gone. Some of you sitting here, Brother Grant, this 4th of July, I want to get out here and light fireworks. Well, man, you just think that verse in the book of Matthew 24, he that endures to the end shall be saved, okay? First thing, they neglected the Word of God. They negotiated with the enemies of God. But guess what? They negated their what God had promised. You read, dear friend, the moment that these people in Judges chapter 2, they made an affiliation with these people, got the promises that God had made to them, God removed His hand of blessing, and these people whom they negotiated with become thorns and snares in their sides. The Bible tells us the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and He delivered them to the hands of the spoilers. You know what? They lost the promises that God had made to them. But let me give you this. They were negligent to learn from their sufferings. Now, I don't want you to miss this. They were negligent to learn from their sufferings. You start reading at verse number 16, and you'll find what happened to these people is that the Lord raised up judges, and He delivered them. They said, oh, God, we're sorry for the way we lived. You know what God did? God raised up a man, and that man would come in and lead them spiritually, and He would set them free from their oppressors. But you know what would happen? After that judge died, they would go back and start tolerating people of land, start cohabitating with them, start worshiping with them, start saving Baal and Ashtoreth. They got very pluralistic in their religion. Can't we all come together as one and just sing Kumbaya and get along? Huh? All their cotton candy theology? They said, can't we just do that? Well, guess what happened? God would allow those people to oppress them, take them, make slaves out of them. This happened as a cycle over and over and over again for, what, about 400 years? Now, you study the Scriptures, this happened again and again. You know what the problem was? These people never could learn from their suffering. You know what? Anybody that's one of God's children, they've sinned. If you're truly saved by the grace of God, you know what the Bible says? That if you're one of God's children, if you're a son, that He will discipline you. It said if you don't receive discipline from the Lord, the Bible says you're a bastard, not a son. It said what father loves his child and will not discipline him? Now I got news for you. God will discipline His children. And the truth of the matter is, you hope from that if they learn from it. Oh, it took one time when I was a kid to take a butter knife and stick in the outlet. And I learned you better not do that again because it hurt. We put up electric fence in our backyard in Somerset. I ain't talking about underground. I like to see the sparks fly off the dog's nose. Well, that works. Just let me tell you. You didn't have to have it turned on for a year and they wouldn't mess with it, okay? But Isaac, Jill said, well, what if Isaac touches it? He's a little boy. I said, he won't touch it too many times, I promise you. I warned him. He had that fence. Isaac, stay away from electric fence. Okay, Dad, he's about 3. Next thing I know, I hear him screaming and crying and shaking, you know. And I knew for he never went out there and touched that fence again. You know why? He learned from his suffering. But you see a lot of people just go through heartache and misery and difficulty and face adversity all the days of their life. And you know, let me tell you why often they do that is because they're not living for the Lord. And they don't learn from their suffering. I'm going to tell you, I want to learn from my suffering. I don't want my suffering to go to waste. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I want you to understand the Bible tells us, listen to me and I'll be done in just a couple minutes. The Bible tells us that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. God intends for us to live a victorious Christian life. But many Christians are living a subpar life. Let me tell you why. Because they stopped working together. There's a lot of people, you know what? They said, we can go out alone. Well, I don't need the help of the church. I don't need my brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to say to you, unto Him be glory in the church. I got news for you today that He loved the church so much that He shed His own blood for it. He purchased the church with His blood, the Bible tells us in Acts 20 and 28. I want you to understand, dear friend, that God intended for you to operate within the realms of a local, visible, scriptural New Testament church. Huh? That's what God intended. When we quit working together to face our enemies as a unit, we're headed for defeat. Let me tell you another thing. When we stop walking by faith, we're in trouble. I don't tell you what's happened in America. As Americans, I've got news for you. We've stopped walking by faith. I've got news for you. We have founded upon godly principles, godly men. Thank God for them. But you hear me. You know what started happening? There was neglect of the Word of God in the home. Too many believers are trying to live off religious, spiritual food, religious fast food, we might call it. They got their little religious entertainers who preach little sermonettes. They give people what they need, their cotton candy, rather than a message from God. Now, I don't shake you up. I'm just going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something Brother Grant believes this morning. We get up and preach the Bible. Let's preach the Bible. I worry about some of these guys that have this spring. You know what a springboard sermon is? I'm going to tell you what a springboard sermon is. You find one little verse, and it's like, that ain't preaching. Call it soapbox preaching. Find your spot and run with it and just tell what's on your mind. Huh? It don't take long. God said preach the Word. Huh? Well, we need to get a text, and we need to look at the text, we need to examine it, we need to look at it in the light of the Bible, not in the light of what Grandpa thought and what I feel. Well, let me share with you some thoughts I feel on this verse. I don't even know what you feel about it. I want to know what God says about it. Amen! That's good preaching this morning. Dear God, I'm going to get up and run here in a minute. What we need is the Bible again. We start neglecting it in our churches. No wonder we're neglecting it in our homes. Amen. Let me move on. Then we start negotiating with the world. We're forsaking what God has said. We start adopting what the world says is all right. We start dressing like the world, talking like the world, acting like the world. Man, I got news for you. God's people ought to act like God's people. Amen. Now, I'll tell you another thing. What we do is start negating or forfeiting our spiritual claim in Christ. When we start doing these things, then we start being negligent of the things that we should be learning from our sufferings. Man, I'll tell you, there's been a couple times God took me behind the woodshed and I knew why I was being taken behind the woodshed. Huh? Now, you know, normally when I whip my boys, I let them know why they're getting a whooping. Huh? You know what? Sometimes I don't have to tell them why they're getting a whooping because they know why they're getting a whooping. You think many times that I give them whooping, I'll say, Andrew, get down here. Come sheepishly down the steps. What? You know what? Don't lie to me, boy. How's it get down here? What? You know what? How many times have you ever thought, God, I got news for him. God whoops me. I know why I'm getting a whooping. You know what the problem is? A lot of people never learn from the whoopings. They go right back to doing the same thing. I'm going to tell you what, if you want to be like people that should not have been living a defeated life, we're living a defeated life. God said, I promise you the riches of Christ, and God wants you to have it today. The Bible says you're more than conquerors through Him that loved you. You're more, in other words, you're unconquerable through Him that loved you. But I got news for you. If you forfeit what God has for you, it's not God's fault. It's your fault. These people went from freedom to failure just like that. Just like that because they got away from this book. Man, I want to tell you, we need to be a people of the book. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God this morning. I pray your blessings upon this message. And God, I pray that you speak to our heart and you've challenged us. God, we've not come to church just so we could do it out of habit. Just so people could watch us get dressed up and go, and so we pretend to be spiritual. God, we're not here to put on a show. But God, we're here because we don't want to lose what we have in Christ. God, you want us to be more than conquerors. You want us to live a victorious life. You want us to be people that's willing to face the enemy. People that's willing to do great things for you. To do things others wouldn't even dare attempt or think. God, that's what you want for Mount Hebron Baptist Church. God, that's my desire as pastor here, that you give us people that are courageous like Joshua. Give us people that are courageous like Caleb. Give us people that are not afraid of what the enemy says or what the enemy looks like or what the challenge is. But God, we know that we can conquer. We can succeed for your glory. God, give us that passion, I pray. And Lord, I pray you instill fire in our bones that we might live our lives in a way that will bring you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.